Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Post-Commencement Reflection Bureau. That's a mouthful.
The mirrors?
Here at Car Talk Plaza. Well, our commencement address has now come and gone. And
yes, it has.
And we were unable to give you a preview of it for two very important reasons. Mm. One, we didn't know what we were going to say till we got there. Yeah, and two, we didn't want to tip off MIT to what we were going to do because they might cancel us if they knew. But now we can reveal if we want to.
Well, I mean, I suppose we can reveal a little bit. I mean, one of the things we did do was we gave a summary of some research that was done by Paul Merkey.
Heavy duty stuff.
And this research, you know, this research.
Groundbreaking. Maybe windbreaking.
I mean, there are some theories that you just don't believe, but some are just so powerful, and this is one of them. And I wish we could tell you more about it, but it takes too long.
It does take too long. I mean, after all, it took us 75 minutes to deliver our address.
That's right. Yeah. Sitting in the rain, the sun. We had every different kind of weather, and I'm telling you.
But hailstorms.
But if you want to find out more about this historic, folkloric, challenging, and interesting commencement address at MIT, you can read all about it on our website this week.
Complete with pictures.
Read all about it. Who was that kid? You go to our website, cartalk.com, and you will see feature of the highlights. I guess just the
including
highlights.
Including seeing us in full academic regalia.
I mean, oh, God. Man. We had to beat off our wives with a stick.
They were the ones that were hitting us.
They were hitting us with the stick. Well, we had to fend off the sticks.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us about your car or maybe a commencement engagement for next season.
Now that we're professionals.
The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255.
I can remember that.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. Jane from Columbus, Ohio.
J-A-N-E?
J-A-Y-N-E.
Oh, you're the third one.
We have to get those Janes straight.
Yeah.
See, now, my brother, in fact, one day said nobody else ever, no other Jane ever spelled her name with a Y in the middle of it, except for Jane Mansfield.
You know what? That's exactly who my mom, she named me after that.
After Jane Mansfield.
Yep.
She did. I mentioned, of course, Jane Zimmer.
Oh, okay.
Who called me the next day and said, stop mentioning my name on the air. So we know of at least three people named J-A-Y-N-E.
But you would never have had your name if it weren't for the original Jane Mansfield.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Jane Zimmer told me that she was not named after Jane Mansfield.
Oh, no. Well.
She was named after her grandfather, Jane, who was a cross-dresser.
Fred Jane.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah. You are. Yeah. Wasn't there an injunction? There wasn't an injunction.
There was an injunction, but I forgot about it.
You violated your injunction. Anyway.
I forgot what you
told me. Jane from Columbus, what's up?
Well, I have a 1986 Oldsmobile Cutlass. It's a V8 engine, and the problem is it uses excess oil, and the oil's not going on the ground. It's not leaking on the ground, but it's going somewhere because I have to put a quart of oil in it like every 200 miles.
Yeah, it's in greater Columbus, your oil.
Yeah, it's all over the highway.
Think about it this way. You're not losing all of the oil because you're probably breathing in part of it when you go walking down the streets. In fact, if you leave the windows open, you might breathe in more of it.
Oh, bummer, huh?
Yeah, I can't figure out. I don't want a new car right now because of the expense.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out what I can do. I don't have to put a quart of oil in about every week.
Well, just so we don't put our foot in our mouths, did this happen all of a sudden, or has it gradually been increasing in usage over the last 12, 13 years?
Well, no, because I didn't buy it until like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just been gradually doing it, I'd say, this past year. My dad and I keep checking it every couple days and just keep pouring the oil in, but it's not going on the ground.
I mean, a quart every 200 is pretty bad, but my brother once had a car that burned a quart every 50. It was so bad, he actually installed a catwalk so he could go out there and pop the hood while he was moving and add oil to it. You know, but, so I don't
200
know.
200 is a lot of oil.
It's bad, and it's probably going to get worse. And if you're really sure that it's not leaking,
right?
The real remedy is to rebuild the engine.
I know.
But you're not going to do that.
You're not going to do that.
You can try additives, and you can try using 20W50 oil. We've had great luck with, believe it or not, Castrol 20W50 oil in reducing oil consumption on these beasts.
Because right now we're using 10W30.
Oh, yeah. You need to go. You might have to go to 80, 90. And then I would try that first. If that doesn't seem to help a lot, you can try any and all of the additives available on the market. In fact, you could go to an all-additive and just forget the oil.
Aww.
That's very expensive.
An all-additive concoction.
That comes out to be $13 a quart.
Oh, maybe more.
Maybe more.
But I've never tried that, but someone ought to. But I would want you to ascertain for sure that you're not leaking. And the way you're going to do that is to run the car with a piece of cardboard underneath it for like a half an hour.
Oh.
For example, if your oil pressure switch is leaking, it might not leak enough when you're sitting stopped at a light for you to see a big puddle or to leave a puddle in front of your house, because it will only leak when the engine is running. And if you start the car and drive right away, you're not going to have an opportunity to leave a very big puddle.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to eliminate that first before you go switching brands of oil and viscosities and going and buying all kinds of additives. Make sure that you don't have a leak like that.
I mean, if your father is sort of taking care of your car, he may know where the oil pressure switch is, and ask him to take a look at it. And just run your fingers around it, and if it's leaking, it'll be wet.
Okay.
Good luck, Jane.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Andrew from Chicago.
Hi, Andrew.
How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. I have a 1984 Pontiac Sunbird, and it's a manual transmission. And the problem that I'm having is one day I was driving it, and I couldn't get it into 2-4 reverse. Would just kick back into neutral.
Well, I've often said that we don't need all those gears.
Yeah, but reverse would be good.
Except for the fact that reverse is one of the ones that you do need.
Well, I was able to drive it home, but reverse was a problem because I parked in like a parallel parking space.
Yeah,
and of course, it didn't dawn on me that I'd need that to get out.
So you have 1, 3, and 5. I mean, if I had to choose, if I had to take one of those groups, I would definitely take the 1, 3, 5 group.
No, I agree. I agree.
But you need R.
Yeah, but you need 1, 3, and 5.
Yeah, I would choose.
You know what would be great? Having all of them.
I would choose 2. I would choose 2, 4, and R.
So when you try to put it in, it just grinds?
No,
no,
it doesn't
it
do
pops
anything.
Out.
Yeah, just you try and it's like you can't push it back far enough.
Oh, you know, this thing
this
must have a cable shifter.
I think you're lucky.
Yeah, you might need it. I honestly don't remember, but a lot of manual shift cars back in the old days. Cars either had the shifter that went right into the transmission, and there are still some cars that have that, or the linkage was actual rods that went from a shifter and attached to the feet on the transmission so that as you moved the shifter lever inside the car, you would actually move a rod, which would move a foot on the transmission and select a selector for the gears.
Okay.
Because front-wheel drive has made it difficult to do that, many manufacturers now do it with cables.
Right.
And it's possible that the reason you can't get 2-4 an R is that that cable is bound up and rusted.
Yeah. The fact that it's all three of them that you can't deal with...
Yeah, it's not the transmission.
...are all the same, all in the same direction, means that it's not something that's inside the transmission, because it's so unlikely that something could have happened to gear 4 to an R. So that's good, because if you don't have to go in the transmission to fix it, it means a difference of $1,000.
And you wouldn't go into this transmission under any circumstances anyway.
Right.
On an 84 Sunbird. So I think you should take it to your repair shop and ask them if it has a cable, which I'm 99% sure it does. And see if they can replace that seized cable.
Okay.
Good luck, Andrew.
Well, thank
you.
You
have lucked out, my boy.
I mean, we know you're a lucky guy because you're driving an 84 Sunbird.
And you're still alive.
And you still have a good sense of humor, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. Bye.
1-888, what is that number? 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Isla from Hardwick, Vermont.
Isla?
Isla.
I-L-A?
No.
E-I-L-A?
No.
A-Y?
No.
Isla.
E-Y-E-L... I-S-L-A-H.
No. It's I-S-L-A, like island.
Oh, like the Isle of Manhattan.
Well, or yeah. The island of Islay on off the west coast of Scotland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like island without the D. In the end.
yeah.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Like, Isla Nublar.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly what I was
and
thinking.
And where are you from?
I'm calling from Hardwick, Vermont.
Hardwick.
Hardwick's in the Northeast Kingdom.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What did you do wrong?
Well, I live in Maine. I work in Vermont, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, there's no way to get there. Is
I
there?
Know that. I know that.
No, you know, you need a plane.
When you do, I find it interesting. I mean, we got those sort of three states that are like across from each other.
Exactly.
Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. And there's really no way to get from one to the other unless you either go through Canada or Massachusetts.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Nobody really wants to make that trip.
Oh, well,
that's
figured
right.
That out.
I think
true.
They all have decided they want to be alone. And they don't like the people next to them.
Ooh.
They've made it. Don't forget, I mean, they've seen roads.
Uh-huh.
And they could build one if they really wanted to.
Uh-huh.
And nobody has taken the initiative. And they certainly have not collaborated.
They want the north to south roads because that brings in the tourists.
Right.
Exactly. But they don't want the tourists to come from the neighboring states because they don't like each other.
Well, they don't spend any money either.
Of course not. They're only coming there to fish. They're going to steal your fish.
Right. So better they stay home. So anyway, what's your problem?
Okay. I have a 1995 Jeep Cherokee. Since last August, I've replaced the rotors front and back three times.
Yeah.
And when I took it to Midas, I felt like the brakes were getting kind of pulsy and soft. So they replaced the rotors.
They put in new ones.
I guess.
How much did they charge you?
Oh, I don't remember.
Was it a lot?
Yes.
Did you cry?
No.
Okay.
No.
Couldn't have been enough then. We have a box of tissues on the counter now. When we hand people the bill, we give them a bill and a tissue. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So about a month.
And a priest. Who works full time.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. So about a month or so after that, going downhill at high rates of speed, it felt like the brakes were getting soft and kind of pulsy again,
mm-hmm.
and it was intermittent.
Mm-hmm.
And then in November, it got to be more consistent, and I took it back to Midas, and they replaced the rotors again.
Free of charge?
Free of charge.
Oh, good.
So the same thing happened in February. They replaced them again, no charge.
Free of charge.
But the guy said to me, this is it. We're not doing this again. And when I said, why is this happening? He asked me if I had a paper route. He thought that was I using the brakes, you know, excessively? Or he didn't have any theories.
Well, how much had you driven in any of those periods between rotors?
I put about 300 miles a week on my car and all long distance and pretty high speed.
Up and down mountains.
Up and down mountains.
Up and down mountains.
And what is your method of coming down the mountain?
I do not ride the brakes.
What do you do?
I drive.
You just career down the mountain at 115 miles an hour?
You notice
I use the word career.
Yes. Yes.
Which I know.
You had a career opportunity there, and you used it.
I did, because I think it's such a silly word. We had a perfectly good word, careen.
Yeah.
Which means it's exactly the same thing.
Right.
Why did we need the word career? And so I'm using it only because I know that it's an unused word lying there fallow in the dictionary.
He went careering down the road.
He went careering down the road.
Well, I do go careering down the mountain.
Yeah, and well, I'm sure you have to use the brakes. I mean,
but I'm you know, I'm aware. I'm really aware of how I'm using them lately.
No, yeah, but that is speeding up the demise of each of the new brake rotors.
Why?
Because they are misdesigned. If I'm not mistaken, there is a recall on these. Not a recall, but a campaign or some such thing. At least on the newer Grand Cherokees, there is, because they've had the same problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, so what do I do?
You go to the dealer.
You go to the dealer and you give them your VIN.
Okay.
If they're convinced after looking at the car that Midas has done nothing wrong, then there's then the only other possibility is that you're doing something wrong. And if you can convince them that you're not, then they might be willing to do something for you. But I don't know what they're going to do except for putting new rotors in, unless they have a new design.
Okay.
And I don't want to propose lying here.
Yeah, but?
But if you didn't have to mention the mountains.
Ah, okay.
Don't.
Okay.
Oh,
high, high speed, lots of mileage, no mountains.
Oh, it wouldn't be lying if you just omitted it. Is that?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
If they don't say to you, you're not driving up and down mountains every day, are you? If they don't ask you that question, I wouldn't volunteer it. That's all I'm saying. If it were me, because I am a sleazeball.
Well, I know it now.
But you may not be, and you may think that honesty, you might want to say, as my mother did, well, Ray, what about those Cuban cigars you bought when she was at the border with my uncle in Canada?
Yeah. Because she was an honest soul.
She was an honest soul, but it didn't. She didn't pass that gene on to this little progeny.
Well, good luck, and let us know your make out.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. All right, think back.
Yeah.
Sometime in the recent past, there was a puzzler.
Oh, not again.
You remember it?
No, I don't.
Well,
give me a hint.
Well, I found it while I was cleaning off my desk. Someone had sent it to us in
1984. 84? How do you know that? You have it carbon dated? What?
No, I had it carbonara dated. I was able to date it from the layers of pasta sauce that had spilled on it over the years.
Carbonara dated my foot. All right, we're going to be back with the question and the answer, and of course, more of your calls in just about a minute. So don't go anywhere.
Well, I got a call that wouldn't hold a crane. Still, I put a tiger in my tank. Now you're going to hear them tires squeal.
And even though anger management counselors stomp up and down on their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Since you're listening to Car Talk, chances are at some point you'll be thinking about new tires. If you couldn't hear what I just said over the road noise your old tires are making, you might want to think about new tires right now. At TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, will be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars and car repair, and of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
And this was automotive in nature, and had all the woe, intrigue, and obfuscation you could possibly ask for. It had everything, all the elements of a good puzzler, and it was sent in maybe 20 years ago, although I'm not sure, by someone named Judy Belland.
You still have her name. Oh, it's a piece of paper, so you didn't...
I didn't throw that away, and that wasn't covered up with the tomato sauce.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, this is a true story.
She might be retired now.
Sunday, September 30, 1984, my sister's wedding had just taken place the day before in Hagerstown, Maryland. I was getting a ride back to my home in Michigan with two of my sister's friends, Robin and John. So we left early that morning, and we're only about an hour into the drive when John's alternator light came on.
Oh.
Oh. After a couple of more hours, his car began having trouble, you know, bogging down, and I guess some of the electrical stuff wasn't working. So we got off the highway, and in the first minor miracle of the day, we found a place that was open and had a battery charger, so we charged up the battery. And of course, it doesn't happen right away. We wasted like an hour and a half hanging around drinking coffee and trying to extinguish our hangovers. Anyway, after the battery was charged, we headed back to the highway, and things looked grim. I started doing the math in my head, you know, and if you take what is normally a 12-hour trip and you stop for an hour and a half every 2 hours, that assumes we're lucky enough to, like, actually find a place that had a battery charger every time we needed it, it was going to take us, like, I don't know, 15, 16 days to get home. Well,
yeah.
Within seconds of our getting back on the highway, who goes whizzing by us but my aunt and uncle? Now, if we had gotten on the highway just seconds later, we never would have seen them. They, too, were heading back to Michigan from the wedding, having left much later than we did. Simultaneously, the three of us said, get him.
Yeah.
John floored it and managed to catch up to Uncle Leadfoot. We pulled up alongside, and rolled down the window and said, you know, we're having car trouble. Pull over. Pull over. We finally find a place to stop, and John explained the situation to my uncle, who said, geez, I could help, but I don't have any tools. And John said, well, I have tools. I have like a pair of pliers and an adjustable wrench, you know, vice grips and a bottle of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil. But, you know, what are we going to do with that? Uncle said, well, yeah, of course. All the tools in the world aren't going to help. We don't have another alternator. What could I possibly do to help? But he was able to do something. We devised a plan. And using just the tools I mentioned, including the Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil, we made it back to Michigan with no difficulty and virtually no delay. The question was, how did they do it?
Yeah.
And what they simply did was they kept swapping batteries. So when John's battery, because of his bad alternator, would run low and was in danger of conking out and not being able to start the car.
Take it out, put it in Uncle's car.
So after an hour or so, they would put it in Uncle's car, and his good alternator would charge up the battery, and John
would use the other battery.
Would use the good battery, and then when it got run down, they would keep doing this, and they made it all the way back.
Just changing batteries every...
Yeah, and they got it down to a science after a minute. They would do it in a matter of seconds. Pull over, swap the batteries, right back on the road again. Pretty cute, huh? So who's our winner?
The winner is David Crump from Penn Hills, Pennsylvania, and for having his correct answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got. David will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division on our website, with which he can get a copy of our father's CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars, which is a perfect Father's Day gift, by the way, provided your father has already cut you out of the will, or there's no will. So congratulations, David, baby.
Anyway, we'll have a new...
Putrid?
Mathematical puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, actually, this is aimed at the school kids, some of whom have already ended school for the year, and the rest of you are about to.
Yeah.
So that your brains don't go lame, I thought we'd give you something to keep you intellectually stimulated.
And, of course, adults can enter because they forgot all their math.
Exactly.
Anyway.
In the meantime, you can ask us questions about your car at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Where are you from?
I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah, really.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, you're not originally from Nashville, Tennessee.
No, I'm not originally from Nashville.
I'm going to tell you where you're from. Don't
actually,
tell me. I'm going to tell you where you're from, Wendy.
Oh, okay. All right. Will you tell me that right now? Or are you? Gonna...
I'm working on it right now.
Okay. So tell us your problem.
And by the time you finish with the problem, I've already got you in a certain section of the country. I'm just working on the state right now.
All right. Well, I can buy that.
Yeah.
But now I do need to tell you something. That if I suddenly have to leave you, I'm really sorry, but I'm dressed in my scrubs and I might have to run upstairs and deliver a baby.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Nah, there's no rush. They take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, all right. I'll tell them to just pant and blow. No panting and blowing on your end.
Oh, not us.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We'll make it brief anyway.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, I have an 88 Mazda. It's a 626 LX. Mm-hmm. And it's gone about 150,000 miles. And my big question, it's an overall question, is this puppy worth rehabilitating? Recently, my babysitter, male German, 22 years old, ran a red light, and had a little fender bender. Mm. And it popped the hood and damaged the fender. And the car is still drivable, but, you know, there are two latches, and the under the hood latch is broken. But the one that you reach under the hood, you know, when you're going to change your oil or something like that.
Yeah. Right. So the secondary latch works, but the primary latch doesn't.
Right. So that one works, okay? But there's a little bit of play in there, a couple of inches of play.
Yeah.
So that when I'm barreling down the road.
Don't do it.
You know, it's a question of can that whole thing come popping up
by
mistake? And in order to get that fixed, it would cost about $1,600.
Well, doesn't Detour have insurance, the guy that smashed it up on you?
Well, you know, it's my fault. And he's actually on my insurance policy because he works for me because he's my babysitter.
Yeah, but you have insurance, don't you?
Yeah, well, I have insurance. And they'll pay for that if it's worth it. But there's another part of this question.
Oh, I knew there would be.
Yeah, you thought there would be. Yeah. I when you turn the car on, there's a big old puff of smoke. And I've been adding about 2 quarts of oil every week and a half or so. I know that's not good.
Well, it's good if the one's selling the oil.
Yeah, exactly. And somebody told me that this could mean that the heads need to be changed, and that if I drain the oil out and there's water in the oil, that means they need to be changed. And I don't know even what heads are. I mean, the only heads I know are baby heads.
Yeah.
So
no, that's a completely phony bogus.
Was this a fellow physician that told you this?
No, this was somebody at the place that was going to charge me $400 or $500 to change the heads.
Okay.
Oh, this is an actual professional who gave you.
Well,
this
only have one head anyway.
Bogus story.
You have a 4-cylinder engine.
Okay.
Maybe they thought that 2 heads would be better than 1. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But, no, I think you probably need an engine rebuild. You need the whole thing rebuilt.
Okay.
And
yeah.
In light of this new information, this new wrinkle here, mm-hmm. I would suggest that you get rid of the car.
Well, that's the big question because, you know, I don't know if it's, I mean, I guess it's safe to drive. I don't know. The hood hasn't come up.
Well, it's not safe. I mean,
it's
let's
safe.
Get that issue out of the way right away.
All right.
Because,
so
yeah, that hood latch can easily let go.
Uh-huh.
And if you're doing anything over like 30 miles an hour, that hood will come flying up and stand straight up.
Right. And then you have to slam on the brakes.
And then you'll see absolutely nothing. Trust me, it's happened to me twice.
Ooh.
And,
okay.
And it's really exciting trying to wend your way across 3 lanes of traffic via the rearview mirror.
He tried to get them to make this a ride at Disney World, but they wouldn't bite.
Yeah,
and I tell you, both
yeah,
of the times it happened to me, it was extraordinarily exciting. So I would right away find myself a piece of wire or a bungee cord or a piece of clothesline.
Chain. Chain works very well.
Tie up that hood somehow so that that won't happen.
Okay.
And then I would just keep driving it until you find a new one. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the fact that it needs, it's got a lot of miles on it.
Yeah.
It's burning oil.
Yeah.
And now you've gotten this message from God smashing up the front of it, sending a person all the way from Europe to do it.
I
mean, when you think about the confluence of forces which had to come together to make this happen,
cosmic.
It is. It's cosmic. It's time.
Okay. Cosmic is good. Okay.
Cosmic is good.
It's time to put this puppy out to pasture.
Okay. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin? No.
What Wisconsin?
That's where I thought she was from.
Oh, and I'm going to guess Chicago.
Chicago? No. No.
All right. How many guesses? Can we get about 30 or 40 more guesses?
How about 50?
originally Pennsylvania, but lately of Rhode Island.
No kidding. So now you're in Nashville.
I came here because I wanted to be a midwife in this hospital.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I hope you're having a wonderful time in Nashville.
Thank you very much.
Dump that piece of junk that you have for a car.
Okay.
It's time for a new one.
See ya. See you, Wendy. Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to apologize to MIT for ruining their commencement.
No. Time to play Dump the Chunk. Once in a while, we invite one of our past callers back onto the show in order to what?
Kill time while I think up a new puzzle?
Right. And to see whether the advice that we gave that person was any good at all or even possibly
So who's
correct.
This week's contestant, Johnny?
This week's chump stumper is Bob from Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, you may remember, and I'm reading this from a piece of paper because I don't remember, Bob called us in December. Wow. Because the heat wasn't working on his 85 Chevy Cavalier.
He must have one frozen tuchus by now. And he was desperate because the temperature was threatening to fall below 60 any day.
Good. Keep going.
Okay, here's what I've replaced so far. The thermostat.
Good
upper and lower radiator hose.
Good start.
Nice.
The radiator.
Bad start.
Radiator?
Well, he needed that anyway.
upper and lower heater hoses.
Oh, so close.
Heater core.
He's getting... Oh, heater core.
Jeez, Bob.
Yeah, water pump.
Oh, my ace in the hole.
In your day, while I had the cover off of the heater core, I checked to make sure that the baffle was moving. Working fine.
Oh, Bob, you're...
Wow. Well, he didn't leave us much room to work with now, did he? He replaced everything.
Well, basically, yeah. So it was a fallback position. We told Bob that during one of these numerous repairs, he likely trapped... This sounds like a BS. He likely trapped a considerable amount of air in his cooling system. So we instructed him to tip the car up on its front end and burp it.
Actually, we told him how to remove the heater hoses and top off the coolant and run it with the radiator cap off and all that stuff so that any remaining air in the system would be allowed to escape.
And we'll find out right now if that helped. Bob!
I'm here.
Hey, how you there? Bob, what's the average temperature been in Greensboro this week?
90.
So are you warm enough?
Quite.
You were right!
If the heat ever starts working, it's going to blister the paint.
See? You didn't tell us how we had to get you heat.
We just had to wait until June.
We just did our sun dance here.
I knew you were going to have some bogus solution.
So tell us what happened, Bob. We're dying to hear.
Okay, put it up on the ramp.
Yeah.
And ran it that way.
Yeah,
didn't help. Didn't help.
Huh?
So while it was up, I did the. I pulled the hoses off.
Good.
Filled them with water.
Yeah, yeah.
Put them back. Nothing. Went a step farther. Took the hose back off. The one that goes to the intake manifold is higher.
Yeah, good.
I put a T-fitting in it.
Good.
I ran a hose up to where I could
pull a
vacuum on it by sucking on it.
Good.
Ah!
It was disgusting, but...
It was. Didn't work.
So nothing has worked.
Nothing has worked.
Well, this is sadder for you than it is for us. I mean, it's not skin off our noses.
Until December rolls around again.
Yeah, it might get down to 70 degrees down there.
Occasionally, yeah.
That's awful.
Jeez.
Gee, I wish I had some new ideas, but we covered everything in the last call.
Well, I will tell you a little story that I might not have told you when we spoke to you the last time. That we had a car, and I don't remember what it was, but it was one of these GM little junk boxes. and this guy also had no heat, but he had a blown head gasket, coincidentally. And when we fixed the head gasket, i.e. when we put a new head gasket on, we didn't even realize it, but we had inadvertently fixed his heat.
Did you forget to charge him for that?
When he called back to tell us it had been fixed.
And you said, forgot to bill you.
Send us an extra $50. But he said, gee, you know, the heat hasn't worked in this thing for 2 years. And since you replaced the head gasket, it has now worked. Now, I had no ready explanation, and therefore I couldn't present them with a bill. I just wanted to tell you that in the event that you're grasping for straws or looking for a long project for the summer.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet it's the head gasket. Bob, we're going to be talking to you again soon after you do the head gasket.
Oh, Lord.
So you're going to have to. If you want to be on Stump the Chumps again?
Chump the Stumps.
This is getting very questionable.
If you want to be on Stump the Chumps again, you're going to have to do the damn head gasket.
All right, here's the deal. Make him an offer.
All right, we'll do it.
No, if he does the head gasket and it's not the head gasket, you'll pay him for the head gasket job.
There you go. Doug Berman will pay you.
Doug Berman will pay you.
I can do a head gasket myself in a weekend and charge you, what, $500? Is that the going rate?
Yeah, whatever.
$220.
Yeah. Can we agree on $200?
This is
dangerous.
No, I'm
we're going to be setting a dangerous precedent.
What do we care? Berman's paying.
Oh, that's right. $400. We'll go as high as $400. Not a penny over $600.
We'll go over $400.
Good Lord. You just made my life complicated.
I know. Get those wrenches out, baby. See you later.
Take care.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Bye.
Chump the Stumps, whatever.
Chump the Stumps. Okay, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
All right, it's time to take another short break.
Thank God. I thought you'd never give me a rest.
You see what I have to deal with, folks? I can't believe it. We'll be back in a minute.
A minute? All I get is a minute?
Oh, shut up, you crybaby.
My baby drives a pickup truck. She got room in the back for a 10-point buck or a small moose. My baby drives a pickup truck.
She got Rome in the back for a 10-point buck. Oh, a small moose, that's cause my baby drives a pickup truck. Her favorite movie is The Terminator. She thinks Massachusetts is close to the equator. Oh.
And even though June brides start shopping for radio-free convents whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
You know, I drive junky cars.
Hello, this is Nina Totenberg.
When my husband and I were courting, he was really scandalized by my very old Mazda 626. And when we were invited to a state dinner at the White House, he said that I should rent a fancier car. I refused, of course. It's amazing to think that I could turn that dumpy car into my favorite programs.
Just visit the Car Talk vehicle donation program at cartalkvdp.com.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and of the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Now, I did say earlier that this was for the children, but of course, adults are welcome to work on this too. And it is mathematical, and we'll even let Berman work.
Do I need a pencil to write this down? I mean, are there going to be like numbers in it, or is it just
theoretical? Yeah, get a pencil.
Okay, get the pencil. I got it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is a probability problem.
Probability.
There's a baseball team which consists of 20 kids. And they all, at the end of the season, they all go to the coach's house to have a barbecue.
Yeah.
And he says, look, kids, you can't wear your hats at the barbecue. So all the kids take their hats and they throw them in a big pile.
I love it. So there are 20 hats in a pile.
20 hats.
I can see it coming.
You can see it coming.
Yeah.
So they fill their little faces with hot dogs and corn on the cob and whatever.
And they barf.
And they barf into their hats. And at the conclusion of the evening, they all reach in at random and grab a hat and put it on their heads.
Yeah, I see it.
What's the probability that 19 out of 20 of these kids gets his correct hat?
Okay, now, no hints, right? No, I'm not going to say a word. No hint.
Of course you can't say a word.
I'm not going to.
If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a 26-foot hand-carved Italian marble fountain.
With lions?
Tigers.
Tigers is good.
And send it to, I don't think they knew about the tiger, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 022. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us and insult us or berate us or do anything at all.
Or make some admission about what's terrible in your life.
Or what's terrible about our show. No, you can't do that.
No.
The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Jeff Bond, and I'm from Bloomington, Indiana.
Are you a college professor or a student or what?
No, I work. I'm a picture framer over here at Ben Franklin, right on the square, right there by Indiana University.
Ah,
so what's up, man?
I did have a question about my truck.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now I got a 19. Oh, by the way, before I ask you about that, I got to say something. I really appreciate your show, but I had a customer come up to the counter one day, and it was on a Saturday morning. And we get this Muzak. I don't know if you ever heard of that. It's
sure.
Music they pipe into the store.
Yeah.
And I had your show on the radio, and this lady was up at the counter, and she never heard your show before, and I'll tell you what, she was hysterical. She really enjoyed that. She says, man, those guys are good.
Yeah, right, they're good. Can you turn on the music?
No, I had to pump that down so we can hear the radio, because I really like your show. And
we got another satisfied fan
in
Bloomington that makes... Two?
She really loved it. Yeah, she really loved your show, and so I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, if she wants to send us her name and address, we'll send her the $20. I mean, we give $20 to anyone who will listen.
I could do that.
All right, so now tell us about your car, your truck, rather.
Okay, I've got a 1988 Chevy S10 pickup. It's got four-wheel drive. It's got a 2.8 V6 in it. Now, I bought this truck. I bought it off a private dealer. I saw an ad in a newspaper. I called the lady, and I said, I'd like to see your truck for sale. So I went and took a look at it, and it looked really nice. New tires, and it was really clean. And but then after about 2 weeks, I was just driving down the road about 45 miles an hour or so, and then all of a sudden I heard this whine, and it goes like this. It goes, clunk. like that it sounds like it's coming from the rear end, like a hub is like kicking in or something.
And you're driving at a steady speed when this happens?
I'm driving at a steady speed, but what happens, I was ascending a hill, and then as soon as I start getting to the top, then all of a sudden you can start to hear it whine, then all of a sudden it'll just go, woo, clunk.
And when the clunk occurs, does the truck shake or...
It doesn't
do
anything. It just like it acts normal again, but it does it every so often. But what I did do, there was a vacuum hose that goes to the vapor canister that's right there behind the battery that either kicks it in or out of four-wheel drive. And I unhooked it because that's what I thought it was. It eliminated the problem, but I don't have any four-wheel drive.
Well, that narrows it down to the four-wheel drive, doesn't it?
Well, yeah,
as you said.
You might think so.
I did have a friend of mine. He's like not a certified mechanic, one of those backyard-type mechanics.
Yeah,
he
uncertified.
Helps me out.
Certifiable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said that there could be a switch or something like that on top of the transfer case. Now, I have no idea what even the transfer case, where where it's at or whatever.
Well, the transfer case is attached to the transmission, and it's what sends the power to the front wheels also.
Okay.
When you engage four-wheel drive. And it sounds to me like your four-wheel drive is partially engaged or was partially engaged.
Right.
And there's something about climbing the hill and reaching the top and then descending that kicks the thing out and hence the clunk.
Right.
There's going to be something wrong with the servo that's engaging the four-wheel drive. There's going to be something kicking it halfway in. What that is, I don't know. But you're going to have to take it to the shop and have them put it up on the lift and
okay.
run it. Because... You got to fix this, otherwise you're going to wreck the thing.
And this all happened when you were not in four-wheel drive when this happened.
Well, yeah, I wasn't in four-wheel drive, but I noticed one thing that was kind of strange.
We're going to get to the truth here.
Well, on the gear shift lever that's inside the truck,
yeah.
You know you have that light on where it says two-wheel drive?
Yes.
Well, it was flickering.
Actually, what it did, flicker,
uh-huh.
and it came on and came off, but it seems like it stays on most of the time, and I was kind of told that you're in four-wheel drive all the time, but I wasn't sure, so I went and tried to find some gravel and try to see if I'm spinning with all four tires, but it didn't, only spun with the two tires, but yet the light was still on, like the four-wheel drive.
Right, because it's partially in. So my brother is exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
It was partially in. And it's engaging by who knows what makes it engage. But that's the problem. And it might be quite simple. It might simply be the linkage.
Oh, okay.
It's going to cost you $3,000.
I don't think that's how much I paid for the truck.
All right, $2,500. We'll cut you a deal.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. So you're saying take it to somebody who specializes in four-wheel drive?
Yeah, take it to a transmission shop.
Okay.
And they'll put it up. You know, I think you have a vacuum leak someplace.
Okay.
See you, Jeff.
Good luck, Jeff.
I really appreciate it.
Hey,
thank you
very
much.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ann from Montrose, Colorado.
Ann. Montrose.
Yes.
Where is Montrose?
It's in Colorado.
It's on the eastern slope of Colorado.
Eastern slope.
The east coast of Colorado?
East coast, yeah.
Eastern slope.
Oh.
That's on our side of the Continental Divide.
Right.
Okay, we got it.
Okay.
Okay. So what's up, Ann?
Well, I have a 1984 Nissan 200SX. Mm-hmm. It's got over 170,000 miles on it.
Great.
And there's no problem with it right now, and I need for something to be wrong with it.
Why?
Sure, we can handle that.
Okay.
What would you like? You want body work? Engine damage? What?
I want a little engine problem so I can take it into my mechanic.
What? You got the hots for the mechanic?
I have a crush on my mechanic.
Ah! Uh-huh.
And for the last year, he and I have been working on my car.
Yeah.
And getting it all together. And I'm always the last one to pick up my car, and I bring a little dinner, and we spend some time together.
Isn't that cute?
This is great.
Well, I found out through a mutual friend that he likes me, but he thinks I'm about 15 years younger than him, and I'm only 3 years younger.
Oh.
And my car is not breaking down now. He's got it so working so perfectly that I had this great idea that if something went wrong, I could take it in, accidentally leave my driver's license,
Oh. Oh, you are a devious little devil.
I am. And then I could call him and say, did I leave my license? And he could see that I'm really close to his age, and maybe we can get this ball rolling a little more than what it has been.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So there's really nothing wrong with my car. But
so in a year's time, get me this right. The last time he worked on your car, it was a year ago.
No.
No, recently.
He's worked on it on and off for the last year.
Yeah. On and off.
It's been really great. The dear little thing's been breaking down on the interval of every 3 weeks.
Oh.
Except for the last time he fixed it. And we replaced everything, and we put in everything, and we've changed everything, and so it's not even time to get the oil changed.
So now it's perfect, and you have no more excuse to go
so
see him.
So this guy has a little shop out there in Montrose?
Well, he's another town away from me, but yes, he has a little shop, and he has a good reputation.
What's his name?
Well, I don't want to say, because it's a small town.
Oh, well, hey. Give us his initials.
This is just between...
B-H.
B-H?
Mm-hmm.
This is just between you and us.
Yeah, no one's listening.
Nobody will know.
B-H. And where's his shop?
To the station.
No, we have to get this background information. We do this with every caller. What's the name of his shop?
It's called B&T Auto.
B&T Auto.
Okay. I really want to.
Is that OTTO or AUTO?
We'll start with an A.
No, but has he given you any indication that he's interested at all? I mean,
yes.
We don't want to. We don't want to get embarrassed here.
Yes.
He has given some indication, and you feel strongly that he would make a move.
If
he thought that the age difference was not as large as he thinks it is.
That's true. I do.
Uh huh.
When the first time he kissed me, it was so great. I just kind of.
Wait a minute now. wait a minute.
Was this like in the grease pit? I mean, where did this happen? You showed up a little bit late to pick up the car. You had a little din-dins ready.
Uh-huh.
And one thing led to another.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. This is romantic, isn't it?
This is romantic, but that's as far as it's gone. And I thought, if he finds out, my age is really close to him.
Oh, so you think that he sort of feels guilty about this? He's like, what do they call it? Robbing the cradle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, how old does he think you are?
I think he thinks that I'm probably around 30 years old.
Aha.
Oh. And he and he thinks that's too young for him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's this guy's basic problem?
Well, my wife is 15 years younger than I am.
And she looks every minute of it.
That didn't stop me from putting the heavy moves on her.
Yeah, it was that groping that finally got her, wasn't it?
I think he's just a decent guy, and he just doesn't feel that that's right.
Well, he doesn't want to mix business with pleasure. I mean,
are you supposed to know something about cars? Does he think you know something about cars?
No.
You're just going in there and pull off a spark plug wire.
Okay. That will. I can at least chug into the shop.
Oh, sure. Okay. Pull off two or three of them.
You only have four.
No,
pull off one. That'll make it run really lousy.
It'll make it run lousy, no power, and you'll say, hey, B.
Okay.
Or Ben. You'll say Ben.
Okay.
No, Bob. Bob.
No, Ben.
Bob.
You're way off.
Bill.
It's like a southern nickname, but...
Bubba! You say, hey, Bubba. It's not right.
Beavis?
So this won't hurt if I just pull it off, like get about 2 blocks away from the shop and pull it off and go in and say, my car doesn't work.
Well, no, I would be make it more believable. Do it early in the morning and drive it around for a while so you can accurately explain the symptoms.
Okay.
Otherwise, if he thinks it's contrived.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand how... Oh, and I see. Then you're going to leave the... How the hell are you going to leave your driver's license? It's going to fall out of your pocketbook, isn't
it? Right.
It's going to fall out of your pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Jeez. Do that.
Okay.
The other thing you could do is you could have a birthday card that someone had sent you was sitting on the dashboard.
Oh, what a great idea. My birthday is next week.
Oh!
Oh!
Invite him to your birthday party, Ann.
Uh-huh.
Say, I'm having a surprise birthday party for myself.
Uh-huh.
How would you like to come?
I'm having a surprise 43rd birthday party.
But, you know, I like this idea of just the birthday card. That and my driver's
license
together would work, and the spark plug. Now, tell me, Where's the?
Yeah, you might want to staple your birth certificate to it.
I don't want to be that obvious, but tell
no,
me.
You are. Don't worry. I mean, I hate to ask the question because I know it'll get me in trouble. I was hoping my brother would ask the question because he's accustomed to getting himself in trouble. But
okay. What?
Are all women this devious when it comes to amour? I mean, this is...
We are.
You are, okay.
We are, and you guys should be grateful we are. It would be dull.
What, men aren't devious?
Men are.
Oh, you
no,
bet.
Most men are pretty direct. They breathe heavily, grunt a lot. You know, it's...
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, how many times have you stood outside someplace that you knew somebody was going to be coming out of in 2 or 3 hours? I mean, how many times have you done that?
And how many times have we sat inside 2 or 3 hours just waiting?
Exactly, and then you just happen to be walking by. I just happened to be walking by for the 413th time.
No, that's not devious. That is...
persevering.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's perseverance. That's not...
Well, I think what Anne is doing is persevering and devious. Very devious.
Yeah, both.
But hey... Yeah.
Good work, Anne.
But whatever works, as they say. Hey, good luck, and we will call old Bubba and try to help you out.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Good luck.
Bye.
Well,
oh,
it's
man.
Happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Cayuga Lake, Bran Flake, Shark Steak, Broiled Hake, Sponge Cake, and Thick Shake Clam Bake, and Thirst Slake is John Bugsy Lawler.
Is he here?
He is. Just back.
Just back.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our employee morale boosters are Phil LaCrap and his brother Luke LaCrap. Bad. The manager of our nightclub is Don Cashane. Our automotive schematic reader is Saul Greek to me. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the undershowered singer-songwriters in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1523, download other insomnia-curing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, no factory recalls yet. That's the slogan on our new Car Talk t-shirt, made of 100% cotton to absorb all weights of motor oil and iced coffee. No factory recalls yet commemorates that Car Talk has never been recalled by NPR. Of course, I haven't checked my email today. Take a look at it, along with Car Talk mugs, best of Car Talk collections, and more at the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR.